From Lake Itasca to Lake Pepin and the rest of the land of sky blue waters, we are Minnesota Score Radio, your sports ticket. Wally and Eric back for yet another week as we slice and dice the always busy, always topical, always cluttered Twin Cities sports scene. And this week, it's June. That means OTAs for your Minnesota Vikings, playground construction, things like that. So we're going to talk a lot of purple.
Purple talk in June already.
Hard to believe.
And with the Twins, you know, having a decent season thus far, well, a very good season thus far, it's hard to imagine we're already talking purple.
But I know.
Well, when I hang out with you, there isn't much choice.
I didn't really want to bump the Twins deep into the show, but we will get to them, I promise. But rumor has it some major stuff was swirling around the purple this week, and so we're going to deal with it. And we were out at Falcon Heights Elementary School earlier in the week where they had their annual playground construction. It's a good thing the Vikings do that the team shows up.
Boy.
And they build a new playground for schools that need it. But the weather didn't cooperate. We had a gully washer. We had rain. We had lightning. It was very soggy.
Yeah, no, and the event kind of got blown away. They had a little indoor event as well. So the Vikings were able to attend that, but they did not actually get to the finishing touches that they usually do on the playground. But all in all, though, it is a great event. And ironically, it was the day after Adrian Peterson came back to practice for the first time, because Adrian practiced on Tuesday, and then on Wednesday they had the event, and you know, it's kind of ironic doing a kids' event right on the heels of Adrian Peterson
didn't
returning.
Take you long to go there, did it?
Well, I mean, let's face it. I mean, that's what it was. But you know, they do, the Vikings do this every year, and it was like you said, it was a rainy event, but I think that I think that the players actually enjoy talking to the kids and getting out and so on. And they were able to do that at the school over in Falcon Heights, but they were unable to actually get their hands dirty and sink the final poles into the ground over there at the playground.
And, you know, the one thing about the Vikings and the other professional teams in the Twin Cities, they all do a lot of stuff like that.
Yep.
In the community. It's part of their branding, part of what they do. I mean, the Minnesota Vikings have had Tuesdays be their community day going back to the days of Denny Green. I mean, he orchestrated that and created that. And, you know, so when you look at their schedule during the season, and I'm not asking anybody out there to shed a tear for these guys. They're well compensated. They get a lot of perks. But, you know, it's usually the game's on a Sunday or sometimes a Monday. But, you know, if you play on a Sunday, Monday they still come into the facility. Tuesday's their day off, but that's community day. So they're out in the community. Wednesday, back to work. Thursday, back to work. Friday, Saturday, and the thing repeats itself. So they are kept busy, and they do some good things in the community, and the Vikings have their children's fund that has generated a lot of money over the years. So the playground thing to me is a good thing. It's unfortunate that the skies opened up and we had the deluge.
My goodness.
It put a damper on it, literally. But not enough to slow down Rocky, though. Rocky threw his umbrella away, tossed his raincoat into the playground area, and said, "I'm going to go get you guys some guests."
And he lined up some great guests for today, and we're going to have them on. I believe they're on in the next segment. He's got a couple good ones lined up.
Rocky, I got to give him credit. He hates indoor football. He said, "Look, I don't care if it's raining. You're going to have people to talk to." In the rain, the elements.
And he's got us here, and he just texted. He said, "Are you going to tell who it is?" Yes, we will tell who it is. It's Matt Khalil, and then the general manager, vice president, whatever you want to call him, Rick Spielman. So we'll get to them. They're coming up in the next segment.
Yeah, two guys who are impacted a lot by Adrian Peterson's decision to return to Minnesota this week. And really, first of all, let's hope this saga is over with and it's in the rearview mirror, because I think we're all tired of dealing with it, talking about it. It just got old. It had a lot of twists and turns. But I will say this out of the gate. Good move by AP.
Yeah.
I don't know who finally convinced him or made him change his tune, but it was critical, in my opinion, that he get into this situation and, you know, address this thing head on. The sooner the better. Because now when you go to Mankato for the real training camp late next month in July, this is not an issue anymore. And then you get into your games and the regular season starting September 14th at San Francisco. This is all yesterday's news. And to me, that's the big thing that comes out of this, AP, I have no concerns about the effort he will give. He will run angrier than normal, and we know how he is. He doles out that punishment on the field. I mean, the linebackers and the DBs are the ones who pay, not Adrian. And he's a good teammate. He's well-respected in the room. And hopefully he's learned from this. Made a bad mistake, no question.
No, he said so.
Yeah.
He said so in his lengthy press conference / apology on Tuesday. You know, let's just move on. He's apologized. He certainly has done his time, and hopefully he'll be able to move on and start playing football again. And I think you're right. I think he's going to run angry this year.
I would never doubt the possibilities of this guy. He's a freakish athlete, and I think it bodes well for the Vikings. And somebody got his ear. Somebody convinced him that, you know what, this dog and pony show, this getting on Twitterverse and throwing out these opinions and all this, it's doing you no good. You have no leverage. And, oh, yeah, you're going to make $12.175 million even if you're not happy. That's not a bad gig.
Well, and the other thing is, I didn't realize he still has 3 years left on his contract. Now, obviously, none of that's guaranteed money anymore, but 3 years left on the contract, so the Vikings still hold all the cards here going forward. You know, whether they decide that, you know, in the end that they're not going to be able to afford to pay him what what they thought originally, as because he has gotten older, maybe is not as effective, but at least they have the option now. Whereas, if they had traded him, I think it would have been a huge mistake to trade him. I just do, and that they waited out the storm, and now they're back exactly where they should be.
Yeah, I'm going to congratulate the Vikings, Rick Spielman, who we will talk to later on in the show, the Wolf family, and you know Mike Zimmer, up and down that upper echelon of the organization. Look, we know they listen to offers as well. They should have. You know that Dallas and Arizona and other teams definitely called and they talked, but the Vikings stood firm. They dug a line in the sand, and they basically, I'm sure, said to themselves, unless somebody knocks our socks off, we're not trading this guy. We're not going to give him away.
Yeah, why would you do that?
No, and they knew they had the leverage contractually. AP couldn't do anything. He's not a free agent. So I think the Vikings were transparent early on in this process when the whole news broke about AP and his kid in Texas. And they made the right move by sitting him down immediately against New England in Week 2. But then when the team ran for 70 yards as a whole that game, all of a sudden AP's good enough to play the next week in New Orleans. Then the sponsors pull out. And then they said, okay, disappear, go on a milk carton. We could see what they were doing early, but they regrouped. And I think they handled it very well. And I think this thing will have a happy ending for both parties.
Well, that remains to be seen. Let's see if they can win. If they make it to the postseason, that would be a start, right?
Oh, it sure would.
Yeah, you know, a lot of that goes away when you make it to the postseason. All right, so first home game, what's going to be the fan reaction? Is there going to be mix?
I think it's 80-20 positive.
Yeah.
You'll have some folks out there booing you. Who knows? You may have a protest outside, but I think it's going to be a lot of love for
predominantly
AP.
Predominantly a love
won't
fest.
Won't be a Kevin Garnett love fest or Torrey Hunter. It's a little different circumstances.
It'll be more like a Kevin Love love fest.
Yes.
When he returned this past winter, right?
Yes. So there'll be a smattering of boos, but I don't know. I never felt the hatred toward him through this all. You know, I don't know about you.
No.
Obviously, there was disappointment and shock in the eyes of some, but I think we realize these guys are human beings. They make mistakes. I think what happened is the longer it dragged on, that's when people became more sour on Ape. It was kind of like enough's enough. Look, dude, you're going to get $12 million. Man up, take ownership of your mistake and move on. We'll forgive you. And luckily, this is done in June. I just think that's huge from the team standpoint. And you know, Mike Zimmer has to be giddy because as a coach now, he can focus on football.
Yep. And that was the issue last year. He couldn't focus. He didn't know whether he was going to have Adrian Peterson or not, and if he came back, when he was going to come back, and if he was going to be there for the rest of the season or not. You know, finally they reached a point where he knew he wasn't going to have him anymore. But, you know, in the middle of your first season as an NFL head coach to have your best player and basically who you shape your offense around out of the picture and or a question mark, this threw the whole thing into a conundrum. Now, like you said, he can focus. Norv Turner can figure out exactly how he wants to use Adrian Peterson.
Norv has a new toy.
I'm kind of interested to see how Norv Turner implements Adrian Peterson along with Mike Wallace, along with Kyle Rudolph. You know, they've got some weapons now that I'm interested to see how it's all going to go together.
Yeah, again, potentially this could be fun. If everybody stays healthy and the offensive line raises their game, and again, they're better with Adrian Peterson.
Right.
I mean, and we'll hear from Matt Khalil later, but you know, now all of a sudden you just need a sliver, a crack,
yep.
a seam, and,
yep.
and AP can do the rest. That's history. That's documented. We know that can happen. So I think if you're a Minnesota Vikings fan, you got to be pretty encouraged about this upcoming season.
Yeah, I would say that that's it's a positive at this point. We'll see come July how things continue to shape up. But I'm a little more excited now about the Vikings than I was, say, a week ago. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, and I like the blueprint of this football team. I like the defensive emphasis. I
yep.
truly believe you win with defense. Seattle, to me, is a great model of winning with young athletes, you know, on every spot there on your defense. A quarterback, you know, look, let's not get ahead of ourselves with Teddy. He still has to grow more, but he showed us a lot of good
right.
signs. Maybe Teddy can be a little bit like Russell Wilson.
Yep.
And then you have your running back, Adrian Peterson. They have a Marshawn Lynch. So, I mean, the parallels are there. If this defense can get even better, and I think they will. I mean, they have some athletes on defense. I mean, they've got some players.
Yep, you're right. All right, we need to take a break. Reminder, visit our website. It's minnesotascore.com, home to the Minnesota Score magazine. Just $19.95. You can subscribe online at minnesotascore.com. Just $19.95 for 1 year of the Minnesota Score.
All right, Rocky has lined up Matt Khalil and
Rick Spielman
and Al Moss. So all that coming up, some purple talk, some fishing talk. Minnesota Score Radio, your purple ticket.
The Twin Cities home for Minnesota Score Radio is Sports Radio 105, The Ticket. Now back to Wally and Eric.
All right, Minnesota Score Radio, your purple ticket, as we talk a lot of Minnesota Vikings this week. And joining us is the general manager, Rick Spielman, and the Vikings, of course. We're building a playground on Wednesday. The rains came. Things got a little soggy.
Yeah, no, it was. You almost have to make an audible when the weather was like it was, and when it starts thundering and lightning, we want to make sure we get our players on that bus. So we were able to come over to school and be able to, you know, all our players got into all the classrooms and interacted with the kids. So it's a great event, great for our guys to get out in the community and for some of these kids to get a chance to meet some of our players.
Well, it's kind of become an annual rite of passage. You guys are doing this every year, kind of spreading the wealth. Last year, North Minneapolis. This year, Falcon Heights. And it's kind of been all over the place, too.
Yeah, I know that they go through a selection process and try to hit the areas that need playgrounds or a safe place for kids to play. So I know this was a Wolf family initiative when they first bought the team. I think it's our 10th playground build at this time. So well, we can do things to get out in the community, but also just to do it together as a team, because right now we have all, I think we had 89 guys on our roster at this point, and we went out and practiced this morning, and then to come together and go out and do some things in the communities, not only a benefit to the community, but I think a benefit to the Minnesota Vikings as well.
And one of those guys on the roster, well documented, number 28, Adrian Peterson, he's back. I know you guys have to be thrilled about it. Hopefully get this in the rearview mirror quickly. But that's huge.
Yeah, no, I know we stuck by him all the way through this, and I know everyone from the top down believes in Adrian Peterson as a person. I know he came out and talked through everything at his press conference. He made some mistakes, admitted his mistakes, trying to grow from those mistakes. But I also know the Adrian Peterson that's done a lot of good in this community since he's been a Minnesota Viking. And he has a very good heart, and you know, we believe in him. We're glad this is kind of all behind us right now, and we can move forward and focus on football and the 2015 season coming up.
And he sure makes you a better football team, doesn't he?
It was amazing to watch him yesterday in practice, and the first time he got a little toss sweep. I could tell you just off that glimpse, Adrian Peterson hadn't lost a step at this point.
Is there any fence mending that has to be done between the Vikings organizationally and Adrian, or can you just move forward and try to win football games?
I think everybody's ready to move forward, and Adrian came in on his own, wanted to be a part of this, and I think our whole focus now is getting, and Coach Zimmer is getting this team ready for next season.
And this has got to be one of the teams that people have to be looking over their shoulder and wondering how good this Viking team could be this year. Teddy Bridgewater year two, Adrian Peterson. You guys had another solid draft. You got a couple of guys that played well last year for you as rookies. I mean, I think that people have to start looking at the Vikings.
Oh, we got a young football team, and I know we still got a ways to go, and that's why we're in the OTAs right now. But I know Coach Zimmer and what this staff has done with our young guys, and even the guys that we've had the previous year before this staff came in with Xavier Rhodes and Sharif Floyd and the way Harrison Smith's playing for us, and, you know, to get Kyle Rudolph back and be healthy with the addition of Mike Wallace. I mean, watching our receivers run out there, we're going to have some speed at that position. And to get, Adrian Peterson back in the backfield along with some of those other weapons. But you got to, you know, ball's got to bounce away some. You got to stay healthy through the season, and you got to focus on one game at a time. And, you know, right now our whole goal is, and I know Coach Zimmer, is how we get better tomorrow. That's what we're worried about next.
Talking with Vikings GM Rick Spielman, Trey Waynes is your number one pick out of Michigan State. Then you went with Eric Kendricks out of UCLA and the kid out of LSU, Danielle Hunter. So defense 1-2-3, obviously Mike Zimmer liked that. But what did you like about those three guys?
You know, as you go through the draft and as you sit there and you see what kind of falls to you, and we're always going to take, you know, the best player available, but we felt that those guys filled positions of needs for us as well. The other thing, too, is as you're looking at the board and you're seeing where the strengths are, and, you know, to get a T.J. Clemmings in the fourth. So you have to kind of have a sense, well, if I don't take, and let's say, an offensive lineman here or a receiver here, will they potentially still be available later in a draft? And we felt very fortunate that T.J. Clemmings was there in the fourth. Stephon Diggs was there in the fifth. So we were able to address some of the offensive side of the ball on that third day, but thought we had great value in that third day as well.
How much better of a coach will Mike Zimmer be in year two? I mean, obviously year one, there's some feeling out process for him.
I think just being around it one time and going through, did an unbelievable job going through the game management situations last year, learning that. First time not only, you know, calling the defenses, but being involved in the offense, being involved in the special teams. Just running the team, how we run practices. And myself and him, we sat back after the season. We reviewed everything from A to Z, listened to some of the things that he wanted to change and some of the things that we can work at to get better. And that's what we're focused on going forward. The other thing that's kind of interesting is last year at this time, everybody was learning the new systems, the new offensive system, the new defensive system. So you bring in the new players this year, you have the players that were here last year that can also aid the coaches into trying to explain to some of the new players not only what the X's and O's part of it, but the culture that we're trying to build.
You know, a year ago you lost Matt Cassel early, and that was a bad break. But in retrospect, it accelerates the development of Teddy Bridgewater. How much better is Teddy now with almost a full year under his belt in year two?
I think you saw him as he played. He's going to go through some rookie bumps with the way he played those last six games. And we had to adjust our offense, too, because we were built a certain way with Matt Cassel, and we lost Adrian for most of the season that we didn't anticipate. So now all of a sudden I thought Norv Turner and that offensive staff did a great job adjusting to the scheme, to the personnel that we were working with. They understand what Teddy can do better. I think Teddy has a much better understanding of now where what this system is about. And most of the successful quarterbacks in this league are the quarterbacks that have carry that year in and year out are the guys that are in the same system, that have that continuity and understand where the checkdowns are, where second, third options are. And I think that'll continue with Teddy. Is by no means is, you know, he may be 3 or 4 years down the road, but we're expecting, and Teddy worked extremely hard this offseason, so we're expecting him to take another step forward this year.
You know, and without AP last year, obviously Jerick McKinnon and Matt Asiata got a lot of touches that they otherwise would not have gotten. How important was that, and how much better does that make them?
Yeah, to see McKinnon last year, you know, come in and for his first time playing that position. And you've seen him. There's another guy that's a great athlete that we try to focus on. And the coach is doing a great job developing those guys. And he took, you know, that wasn't as big of an adjustment for him last year. So He did a great job, and Matt Asiata shows the power and strength that he has near the goal line. So, we're going to be pretty deep in the backfield, I think.
Rick, thanks for your time. Good luck to JD and Ronnie as they pursue their collegiate career.
Yeah, good luck to them too.
All right, Minnesota Score Radio, your sports tickets, joined by Vikings offensive tackle Matt Khalil. And your football team, at least on paper, got a lot better earlier in the week. Adrian Peterson reports to the OTA. I know you as a left tackle have to be thrilled that number 28 is going to be carrying the ball again.
I mean, anytime that guy's in the backfield, it makes my job a lot easier. So, we just get in the way. He makes all the plays. But it's great to have Adrian back. No controversy at all in the locker room. I expected that. He's a great team guy. He knows his teammates. And he just wants to play and, eventually win a championship.
We asked you how he looked in practice, and I looked at your eyes. You rolled your eyes. It was like, how do you think he looked?
I mean, it's typical Adrian. He goes 100% every play. It's fun watching him. It's like a highlight reel every play. He just cuts on a dime and can make plays left and right. And, he's the type of guy, if you get him in the open field and you're one-on-one, you're not making the tackle.
And so you're playing with a Hall of Famer. I mean, there's no question about it.
It's exciting. And, going back to my rookie year and that magical season he had, man, he's definitely is a special player. And, I don't think there'll ever be anyone like him ever again.
You had a one-word answer. You said awesome. And then you said it was like Madden video games.
Oh, yeah. I said it's like Madden. Yeah, your team goes from an 80 to a 90 right away just with one player. So it's great to have him out there, and definitely makes us that much dangerous.
How much is he going to help Teddy Bridgewater in his go to the next level?
It just brings up that balance in the offense, and it opens up big plays for us, because with that guy in the backfield, you definitely have to respect the run. And not even that, he can go out, run routes, he can catch passes. I mean, he's just that dynamic player that could do it all.
You look back at last season, certainly the AP situation did not help. Ball club didn't win a lot of games, but you made some progress. From the offensive line's perspective, what has to get better in 2015?
Just working together, working in unison, I think that's the biggest thing. I think there were some moments last year where we were kind of on different pages, but it's great playing next to Brandon, having that guy next to me who's a great guard, definitely a Pro Bowl caliber guard, so excited to have him there. Sullivan, Phil Loadhold as our leaders on that offensive line, so I think this is the year we kind of put that chip on our shoulder and put the weight of the offense on our back and, give Teddy all the time in the world, because if we do that, he's going to make plays and, open up a little hole for AP, because if you just do that, he's going to make big plays. So it's definitely a positive outlook on this year, and, it's just taking it week by week, starting off with this offseason.
One more year at TCF Bank Stadium this season. Tell us about playing there. Did you like it? Do you like it? Are you looking forward to getting indoors? Give me the 4-1-1.
I can't complain that much, because we lucked out last year. I think Carolina was just the coldest game we had. It was pretty cold, but we didn't get too many of those, which was nice. So, I love TCF. It's an awesome stadium, and be fun to play in there one more year. But, I can't wait to play in a new stadium. I've been a guy that's played in the Coliseum. Playing outside, playing in high school where we didn't even have a home stadium. So it's going to be nice to kind of have a new stadium. I've never been a part of anything like that. Real exciting.
Matt Khalil of the Vikings, our guest in this gully washer here, Falcon Heights, where they were going to build a playground for the kids.
Yeah.
They'll put that on hold. But you talk about playing at the Coliseum with USC. I look in that locker room. I see you, Everson Griffin, Red Ellison. Then I see Anthony Barr and now this kid, Eric Kendricks.
Yep.
There's a lot of Bruins and Trojans in that
there you go.
Wearing purple.
We give each other crap every now and then, but, we're on the same team and we all have a common goal, and that's to, play well and, eventually win a championship. So, we're teammates now, so that's in the past. But, when those games come around, we're making some deals, so that's for sure.
All right, free plug time off the field. You've got a pizza business starting to thrive here in Minnesota. Tell us a little bit about it.
It's Biology Pizzeria. It's a customizable pizza place, like kind of like Chipotle. So you go in, select your dough, you select your toppings. We have over 30 toppings for $7.95. We don't add on the price for as many toppings as you want. You get all you eat. Fire oven takes about 5 minutes. So, if you're taking a lunch break from work, you're not going to wait 40 minutes to eat a pizza. So it's a pretty cool deal. We're in Highland Park, St. Paul. Maple Grove, and then we're in Mankato. So everyone's coming down for football. We're next to Chipotle.
There you go.
Yep.
And if I can steal the Burger King marketing line, you can have it your way, right?
Exactly, your way, whatever pizza you want. So, I mean, who doesn't like pizza, right?
Do you look forward to training camp, or is that something you just kind of hope that you get through it and get on to the season?
No, I mean, it's definitely important. I think last year, me missing all OTAs, which is an important part of kind of development and sharpening your skills. And then going right to camp, I think you're a little behind. So I think going into this year, going into camp, you know, I won't be so behind the eight ball. You know, I'll be ahead of the curve and, you know, kind of ready to improve on that point and get ready for the season.
And you really have a critical position out there, left offensive tackle.
Yeah.
You're basically Teddy Bridgewater's bodyguard. Tell the young offensive lineman out there listening, footwork, technique, you know, all of that stuff is critical, isn't it?
You know, off-season is the most important part of the year. And, you know, that's one thing I always remember my brother told me. He said, you know, however hard you train in the off-season, you know, that's what you're going to do in the season. So, I mean, you can't get better during the season. You know, I mean, you can sharpen your skills and keep everything sharp, but off-season is where everything comes in. So it's important to hone in on your technique, how you have to step every certain play. And, you know, you get to the point where you're not even thinking about that, and you're just blocking and, you know, worrying about the plays you're running. So
those speed rushers, they bring a – you know, that warp speed. They also bring the swim moves and all that good stuff. But you mentioned your brother, Ryan. He's with the Carolina Panthers. You saw him last year in that game where it was, I believe, 8 degrees at kickoff. So
they
you got
done.
The better of them. Yeah, they were done.
They were done with about 3 minutes left. No one was playing hard. Like, I got to get out of here. So definitely a cold one.
Well, that's what this guy's been preaching all along. He says, hey, if we played outside all the time, he said, these southern teams would struggle up here.
Yeah, it's tough. My brother said he hated that. He couldn't stand it, so.
Well, think about it. You played them late November, then you played the Jets and the Bears in December.
Yeah.
You guys were 3-0 in that cold weather run.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think we have the advantage because we can tolerate it better.
Yes.
I mean, you never really get used to the cold, but you tolerate it a little more and you know what's coming. I mean, guys who are in the warm and getting the -5, -10-degree weather, I mean, it's a whole different world. So,
5 preseason games this year because of the game in Canton. Is that too much?
You know, I'm going to use all the reps I can get. You know, this is an important part of the year for me, and, you know, I want to get those game-like situations and, you know, win or lose or get beat or whatever. You know, I just want to learn all my lessons before the real season comes and, you know, the real deal comes around. So, I mean, it's just about getting better in the off season, and, you know, I don't mind another game. It's only going to help me get better. So,
and when you see a guy like Julius Peppers or Clay Matthews or somebody like that, are your eyes always making sure you know where they are?
You know, I used to think that way until, you know, every game I play is the all-star defensive end. So I don't think, you know, if I had to pick and choose, you know, you get, you know, 10-star caliber players every time. So,
and best of luck this season.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, Matt Kalila, the Minnesota Vikings here on Minnesota Score Radio, your purple ticket.
From the land of sky blue waters, you're listening to Minnesota Score Radio on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
All right, good to hear from Matt Kalil and Rick Spielman. In the end of that interview, we referenced Ronnie and J.D. Spielman. Ronnie is an outstanding lacrosse player, as is J.D. Ronnie, I believe, is already at Ohio State playing lacrosse, and J.D. is at Eden Prairie High School, where they both play football also. But he's got some athletes in the family.
I would say, and I don't remember, I don't remember seeing Ronnie, but I certainly remember JD as a football player, and this is his senior year coming up, so I'm sure Mike Grant's got him all lined up for another championship drive this year at Eden Prairie.
This would be number 10, right?
Yeah, they're a factory over there, yeah.
Double digits.
And they've won 3 in a row now, so.
No, it's what Mike Grant does is remarkable. I can't say enough about the guy. I mean, I never thought I'd say this, but when he sits down at the dinner table with Bud, who's the best coach in the room?
Well, he's got the most
titles. Might be a push. Yeah, well, for sure. When it comes to titles, Mike's got Dad beat by 10. And you know, I still go back to a year ago, February, when I was at the Super Bowl in the New York City, New Jersey area, and they gave out the Don Shula National High School Coach of the Year Award. Mike Grant won it. And I thought, what a fabulous thing for Minnesota high school football. That you know, as you know, I mean, high school football is huge in places like Florida, Texas, California, Ohio, Pennsylvania. A guy from Minnesota wins it.
Yep.
And then last year, a guy from, I believe, River Falls won it, or somewhere in western Wisconsin. So there's some pretty good prep football in these parts.
I did not know that western Wisconsin got one.
Yeah, so the Cheeseheads have something to salute. But
well,
Mike Grant is he's impressive.
Cheeseheads have plenty to cheer for as far as football goes.
Nah, they're spoiled, aren't they?
Yeah. Well, Badgers, Packers. Although the Badgers took it on the chin from the Buckeyes. That's all I can say.
Yeah, they did. Although the basketball team, not too bad until they ran into Tyus Jones.
Yeah.
Have you seen those Wisconsin travel ads with Bo Ryan?
I have seen those. They're pretty good. They're pretty good.
Yeah, they are pretty good.
They pound the Twin Cities television market with those ads.
They sure do. Come on over to Cheeseland. See what we have. Lakes and woods and Lambeau. And by the way, you can take tours of Lambeau year-round.
Lambeau and the Dells. That's
the Dells, yeah.
Go to the Wisconsin Dells.
Been there a few times.
Oh, yeah.
Madtown, State Street. I know you like to party there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's high on my list.
Door County.
Well, speaking of Wisconsin, they're all over here this weekend.
The Brewer fans.
Yeah, this is a good weekend to go there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, last weekend at Tarjay Field, it was the Toronto Blue Jay fans, and there were plenty of them in the house, as you know. They were loud. Many of them were inebriated, and and of course, this weekend is the same with Brewer fans. Probably, well, worse because there'll be more of them. The only difference is that the Brewer fans don't have as far to travel. Blue Jays fans, boy, you knew that rainout game or the game that was a Friday night game where we had all the rain. Basically, once they started, it was 90% Blue Jay fans in the house because they had come a long ways. They're not going anywhere. They're there for the ball game. Minnesota fans either stayed home or went home that night.
And those are four-wheel drive football, baseball, hockey, you know, basketball fans, whatever. I mean, they're weatherproof fans.
Yes.
Little rain was not going to stop them. Yeah, I was at that game, too. I think at least a third of the fans in the house that night were wearing blue. And when I heard the chants of "Let's go, Blue Jays," I thought I was at Sky Dome.
Now, last weekend, what Torrey got the – got the big hit. Was it last Sunday? Torrey got
the
big hit.
The two-run double
to win it last Sunday over Toronto. And, you know, he just continues to make it all worthwhile, that one-year, $10 million contract that they signed him to. And, you know, this guy, and basically Torrey has been, and I don't want to jinx him, but he has been healthy his whole career. You just wonder at his, you know, at the age of 40, how long he can continue at this high level. But he just continues to do it over and over again. Clutch player, and you know, we know all the clubhouse stuff, but I'm looking at it from purely as him as a player, as opposed to all the other intangibles that he brings. Still pretty good.
Yeah, very good. I would say he's one of their top three offensive players, along with Brian Dozier and Trevor Plouffe, in my opinion.
Yep.
And I'm not worried about his age, and he's got the baseball IQ, and in that locker room he's incredibly popular. And you know, this whole thing with the fog and the smoke and the dancing that we saw last week when we went in, it sounds corny, but you know what? That has fostered a lot of cohesion in that room, and that has brought guys together. And the other thing I liked that I saw recently is that Brian Dozier, who's I think, a quiet team leader already. I really like Dozier.
Yep, I agree.
He's taking Spanish classes so he can understand guys like Escobar and Danny Santana that we talked to a week ago and Nunez. And look, baseball nowadays, Spanish is half the room. And Dozier took it upon himself to get better at Spanish so he could communicate with these guys. I think that's a huge move. That's a leadership move by Brian Dozier.
Wow, I did not know that. That's a great story. And having, you know, like you say, a leader on the team doing that, it just shows that he's here to make it work. You know, whatever it takes, let's make this work.
Right, and the game really has changed. I mean, there's always been Spanish-speaking players, but there's so many now from the Dominican, Puerto Rico, and places like that that it makes sense. Now, Paul Molitor doesn't really speak Spanish, but he leans a lot on Eddie Guardado. And you have to have that bridge as well. You have to be able to bridge the communication gap. And so, I applaud Dozier, and I think that's the one thing that we sensed last week when we were there after they beat Boston. There is this camaraderie in the room.
Yep.
You know, I'm not saying everybody's hunky-dory and they
right.
all go to dinner together.
Right.
I'm not trying to paint too glossy of a picture, but you brought up the Oakland A's a week ago of the 70s, and they were the battling Oakland A's, Billy North and Reggie Jackson and Sal Bando and those guys. They fought a lot. They won because they had a ton of talent, but I think this team really does enjoy being together, and I think that's a big thing.
Yeah. Well, and hopefully they'll be able to continue to win at least at home. Because if they play as well at home as they did in the month of May, they're going to be in the hunt right down to the end. Even if, you know, I know they scuffled some in Boston, but even if they're able to, you know, play even below 500 on the road, a little below 500. If they play as well as they've been doing at home, if you protect your home turf, you know, that's half the battle coming into the, you know, coming into this week. What they were, what was their high watermark? 12 games over
11.
11 games over 500 was their high watermark. You know, you're if you play 500 baseball and you finish 11 games over 500, what does that put you at for the season? That's at 90 wins. That would be about 86 wins. But still, I mean, that's still pretty good. That's going to get you in the hunt for a wild card.
Yeah, no, I think there's a lot of good things going on with this team. And, yeah, as you said, they had some hiccups against the Red Sox, and now they're back home where they have the best home record in the American League. That, to me, is huge. As long as they can continue to take care of business at home, then when you're on the road, 500 will cut it. Not that that should be your goal, but that's kind of reality. That's, I think, even the good teams say, you know what, let's be very good at home and you know, be functional on the road. And, you know, it's baseball's kind of funny now. You look at the Houston Astros, what they're doing. They're a bigger surprise than the Twins in my eyes. Kansas City, very good now, but let's not forget, even a year ago at this time, they were scuffling. So they've turned it around rather quickly. And I just don't think there's any reason to believe the Twins can't hang around. I know there's a lot of Twins fans that they don't want to let go. They don't want to truly believe because they feel like they're going to get their hearts crushed. I understand that. But all I'm saying is just have some fun with it. They are a good group. And, you know, we've been singing the praises of Torrey for years, and I want to sing the praises of Paul Molitor now, too, because he seems to have that knack, that whatever it takes to communicate with guys. And this Neil Allen, the new pitching coach, he's obviously doing some things right.
Yeah.
No, and Eddie G in the bullpen.
They seem to have a good formula right now, let's put it that way. And as you said, as long as they can win at home, the road won't matter as much. I mean, you still got to win road games, but as long as they keep winning at home, that's the key.
And let's at least get two from Milwaukee, because we got to be blunt here. When it comes to Minnesota versus Green Bay in the NFC North,
that's true.
It's all tilted to the Packers. When it comes to Minnesota versus Wisconsin on the football gridiron or the basketball hardwood, it's tilted toward Madison. So when it comes to the NHL, we win because they don't have a team. They have the Milwaukee Admirals and the AHL, I believe.
Yeah, and the Bucks and the Wolves are a push.
And the Bucks made the playoffs.
So that's true.
Can't even call that a push.
So
they win that one until the Wolves can get in the postseason. So this is our chance, Minnesota, to prove to the Cheeseheads we can do something better than they can.
Please get two out of three.
Please.
All right.
And go-go, don't go-go off on us.
He
is wont to do when he comes to Target Field.
All right. We need to take a break. Up next, we'll talk some fishing with Hall of Fame fisherman Al Moss. You're listening to Minnesota Score Radio, your Twins ticket.
Back to Minnesota Score Radio with Wally Langfellow and Eric Nelson on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
Welcome back, Minnesota Score Radio, your sports ticket. Time now for our Leech Lake fishing report, and we head up to Leech Lake with Hall of Fame fisherman Al Moss. Al, I guess I want to start out with a weather-related question for you. You know, the rain, we've kind of had a mixed bag of rain and change in weather over the last couple of weeks. If I'm a novice fisherman, or if I'm just kind of a weekend guy, and what should I look for as far as when it rains? Should I try to fish right before the rain, right after? Do I try to avoid it altogether? What's your recommendation on Leech Lake with regard to rain?
We always deal with rain and storm fronts coming. The fish always bite, it seems like, ahead of the storm. They may bite during the two, but you don't belong out there if there's lightning involved. And then afterwards, sometimes even after heavy downpours rain, they'll also go then. So that's a good time because it's a low-light period. The wave action that is produced many times will also trip their trigger. And it has not bothered us. We've got a lot of rain, probably 11 inches here in the last couple weeks. And the bite is unbelievable what's going on right now.
All right. We'll take a break when we come back. I'll have you let people know what they should be using this weekend if they want to catch the big one on Leech Lake. You're listening to Minnesota Score Radio with Al Moss. We'll be back right after this timeout.
Attention fishermen. Sugar Point Resort is fishing central on legendary Leech Lake. Sugar Point has a large protected harbor offering full gas and bait services with a wide choice of rental boat and motor combinations or a slip for your own boat. Sugar Point is also a great place for your family vacation with 1, 2, or 3 bedroom fully furnished modern cabins with beautiful lake views. And they also have complete campground facilities at Sugar Point. Sugar Point is a great place for kids with 2 playground areas, paddle boats, basketball, volleyball, and an enclosed heated pool. So what are you waiting for? This summer, make it a trip to remember at Sugar Point Resort on Leech Lake. Visit them online at sugarpoint.com.
For a memorable experience this year with some of the best fishing you'll find anywhere, make plans for Agency Bay Lodge on beautiful Leech Lake. Agency Bay Lodge is uniquely located on a peninsula that juts out in the center of Leech Lake, where you'll have easy, quick access to the best fishing spots on the lake. The staff at Agency Bay Lodge will help you locate where the fish are biting. Their full-service dock offers fueling, bait, and modern, fully equipped boat rentals. Come and stay in their comfortable lakeside log cabins, or if you're not fishing, stop and enjoy a pizza, sandwich, or a beverage at their lakefront bar. For the best fishing and a great vacation, remember Agency Bay Lodge on Leech Lake. For more information, visit them at www.agencybaylodge.com.
And we continue along here on Minnesota Score Radio on our Leech Lake Fishing Report with Hall of Fame fisherman Al Moss. All right, Al, you mentioned all those folks limiting out on their walleye. Still jigging a minnow?
The jigging a minnow is still productive, but they're biting on crawlers and they're biting on leeches.
Really?
So the whole gauntlet is going strong. I don't think they're doing anything on the crankbait yet, but from the standpoint of the jigging the minnow, that's been really hot. Shiners are about done. Hard to get a hold of the spot tails, but we used rainbows, and they worked well. Leeches, the large side, didn't need the jumbo. Fished on a jig or rigged, and also the crawlers rigged. Not a spinner yet, but playing. All of them are producing fish. So what do we fish with this weekend? If they're going to win the tournament, they're going to have to get their slot fish first, then they got to go for that big one. The big one will come out of deep water because the water is warming up. It was 68.5 today, getting warm, and we're going to see now those fish move out. So they're going to have to go to deep water. They will be pulling Wally, many of those guys, great big creek chubs, or they'll get red tails if they can get a hold of them. And they'll drag them through those crevices, those rock reefs, hoping for 1/26. But they'll get their fish one way or the other. I think all the people, Wally, this last weekend that needed four spot fish had them by 10 o'clock in the morning with blast off was at 7. So, I mean, the bite was really that good. So that's what I would go for. I would be looking for jigging a minnow. I have that ready to go. Colors, that's up to you. Greens have been working very well, parrot. And then be sure that you're ready to rig with a crawler or leech.
All right, Al. Good stuff as usual, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Sounds good. Take care, Wally.
All right. Al Moss, Hall of Fame fisherman up on Leech Lake. Eric and I will be back to wrap things up here on Minnesota Score Radio right after this timeout. Stay with us.
The Twin Cities home for Minnesota Score Radio is Sports Radio 105 The Ticket. Now back to Wally and Eric.
And we're back. Minnesota Score Radio, your sports ticket as we wrap it up. Final segment, NBA Finals, NHL Stanley Cup Finals underway finally. I mean,
oh, my goodness. And what's with the NHL? Why is it that the NBA starts a month later and they're both going to finish at the same time?
I don't know. A lot of seven-game series in the postseason. I know both the conference finals went seven. I don't know. Think about it. It seems like the Minnesota Wild have been done for a long time, and they only went two rounds in. If the Wild were going to win a cup, they'd still need four more wins at this point. Yeah. I mean, that's how long this whole thing is. Both the NBA and NHL seasons, to me, They seem longer than baseball. At least at least with baseball. I know they play 162, but at least their postseason is 1 month. It's October. It's, you know, the race for October. NFL is basically January and, you know, 1 week wrapped into early Feb. NCAA gets you March and 1 week into early April, right? Look at the NHL and NBA. It starts what? Late April? And they crown their champion in June? They drag out their process.
2 months. It's 2 months. It literally is a two-month process. Yeah, it does get a little old. And it, you know, I know the NBA pushed it back for television. They had to get out of sweeps because May is sweep, so they push it into June.
They're afraid your Cavs won't draw a big enough number.
Come on now. Jeez. I see Kevin Love is, speaking of the Cavs, says he's coming back to Cleveland next year. Not a huge surprise because, well, one, the Cavs are in the NBA Finals right now. But I think more importantly to Kevin Love is that, you know, if he exercises the option this year, then he becomes a free agent next year when the new salary cap goes into place and there is going to be a whole lot more money on the table for the free agents. I mean, even LeBron James is going to sign another one-year deal. I can tell you that right now, because then he's going to get as much as he could possibly get the following year. LeBron is going to be in Cleveland, but he's going to get another one-year deal. And I think Dan Gilbert knows that. And Kevin Love knows that, and his agent knows that. So Kevin Love will play one more year in Cleveland. And as I said last week, they don't need Kevin Love. That's what this postseason has proven to me, that the Cavs, as long as they have LeBron, they don't need Kevin Love.
Well, and I think it's a smart move by Kevin Love, who's a very good player, but he's not LeBron. So why not piggyback off LeBron? And then next season when you're playing with him, and you might be playing with a team that's a defending champion.
Exactly.
And by the way, he gets a ring. He was a big part of it until the first round and the injury. But, you know, maybe get another ring. And then you can size up the situation, because I think, as you said, with the cap going up, maybe the Lakers by then have gotten a little better, if that's his target, or one of those teams out west. But
yep.
He should be in no hurry to leave Cleveland now. Look, he doesn't have to be in Cleveland forever. It's you know what I mean? He can get out of there. And so I think it's a smart move, and they've looked at the landscape and said, this is the best spot for our client to be in.
Couple local ties in the Stanley Cup Finals.
Yeah, hey, I'm happy for Tom Curvers. Both of them actually UMD guys. Tom Curvers back in the day won the Hobey Baker Award at UMD from Bloomington Jefferson, played in the NHL. Now the assistant GM of the Lightning, good dude. You know him, I know him, and just happy that the Lightning are there for him. And then JT Brown. I mean, this is a cool story. Lakeville player, was the most outstanding player in the Frozen Four a few years ago when UMD won it at the X.
Yep.
He is Teddy Brown's son.
The son former of former Viking running back.
Yeah, the guy who replaced Chuck Foreman. So JT Brown, we were talking about Mike and Bud, and Mike having all the titles and Bud having none.
Spielman and his kids.
Yeah. Teddy Brown, if the Lightning can win this thing, could flash a ring at – JT Brown could flash a ring at Teddy Brown and say, I've got something you don't have, Dad, a ring.
Although he ran that hook and ladder perfectly in the in that miraculous
the miracle at the Met.
Miracle at the Met.
That just crushed you, didn't it?
Oh, my goodness. It was horrible. It was horrible.
We should paint the picture for our younger listeners out there. I know we have a young demo. We're so cool and hip here.
Fall of 1980.
Yeah. Vikings-Browns. Vikings got to win to get into the playoffs.
I think it was December, wasn't it?
Yes.
Because it was the end of the year. Yeah.
Well, it was late, yeah.
Yeah.
It was late. They were outside at the Met.
Okay, so almost winter.
Charlie Jones, I believe, on the call for NBC.
I was in the stands, believe it or not.
And so the hook and ladder set up the play to Ahmad, right? It was the pass to...
Correct.
Joe Sencer?
So Joe Sencer, yeah. They ran the hook and ladder. They got it to Teddy Brown. Or Joe Sencer, and then he flipped it to Teddy Brown, who got it in around midfield.
Yes.
And then
set up the Hail Mary,
Tommy Kramer to Ahmad Rashad.
Deflected. Rashad catches the ball, backing in at the bottom right corner of the end zone.
Yeah. and the Browns were already in the playoffs. That they were already – Brian Sipe and company had already qualified. The Vikings were on the edge of elimination. Had they lost that game, they'd have been out. And
Bud even smiled after that one.
I think so.
Yeah, they got in. That was that's one of the all-time great Minnesota Viking wins. I don't think there's any doubt. And you were there.
I was there. You know, that was the one and only game I ever saw in person at Met Stadium, the NFL. I was at several Twins games, but that was the only Viking game I ever saw at Met Stadium.
Wow. Well, good for you. I saw a couple Minnesota Viking games there. I mean, my greatest memory still to this day of watching football in person was when I was a little kid and I came up here for the holidays and was at the 1976 NFC title game. And they beat the L.A. Rams.
Oh, yeah.
24-13, the last time they've won an NFC championship. And I stormed onto the field.
No.
And all the security guys pushed us back. And I remember thinking, I'm going to get trampled out here, but it'll be worth it. Because we tried to get to Brent Musburger's trailer out in deep center field where he was with Phyllis and Irv Cross, you know, the old NFL Today set.
Jimmy the Greek.
Yeah, Jimmy the Greek. And, yeah, they were on their way to Pasadena. And since then, no more super trips.
No.
But it all changes this season. I can feel it.
Yeah. Well, how about that? We've come full circle in the show. We started out Vikings, and we could end Vikings.
Absolutely, because this is their last year outside, much to my chagrin, for probably forever.
Forever.
So
until you hook up with somebody who knows how to blow up that, that roof off the new stadium.
So in my dream world, I've got him in the NFC title game at a frigid, cold TCF Bank Stadium.
Oh, wouldn't that be
knocking
great?
Off somebody from the Sun Belt, San Francisco, Dallas, even a Seattle from out west. Somebody like
Arizona.
That. Arizona, yeah, there you go. The Cardinals. And then they go to the Super Bowl because they played in the weather, and it was a huge advantage. That would be good for me.
And then they never go again.
Exactly.
All right. A reminder, visit our website. It's minnesotascore.com, home to the Minnesota Score magazine. You can subscribe right online, just $19.95. for 1 year of the Minnesota Score.
All right, well, FedEx out those thank yous. One goes to Al Moss, also one to Matt Khalil and Rick Spielman. For Wally Langfellow and Rocky, I'm Eric Nelson saying so long. We are Minnesota Score Radio, your purple ticket.